Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
It's up.
Hello again, welcome friends. This is an all-new edition of Talk of Champions on the Sunday after Ole Miss, number 5 Ole Miss, whipped up on Wake Forest, its first Power 4 opponent of the 24-25 season. They're 3-0, folks, and there's a lot to cover here in the Riverland Roofing Studios. That's where we are. That's where we always are here in Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett. That's Spirit Ben on Twitter. Check me out at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com. That's an affiliate of On3, and if you sign up today, we'd love to have you. Love to talk to you about these Rebels all day, every day. These title-chasing Rebels, just simply go to the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com. Sign up today. Come hang out with me and Chuck Ronzival, Jake Thompson, Zach Berry, the recruiting guy on this Ole Miss beat. We got everything you could possibly be looking for a day after Ole Miss improves to 3-0, beats up on Wake Forest. And, folks, we got some stuff to talk about here. Clinically dismantled Wake Forest. And, yes, it was ugly. No doubt about it. I'm not here to tell you that it was pretty, that the fault lines weren't obvious again. Those fault lines that we knew about after Furman in Middle Tennessee, you got to clean up those penalties. Jackson Dart, throw the ball away next time. Can't throw the ball across your body to the middle of the field. That's day one stuff. Sputtered out in the red zone at times. Got to figure out corner opposite the shutdown specialist, Trey Amos, on the boundary. Got to figure that out. Because if Ole Miss figures out the fault lines, figures out the warts, they might be the best team in the country right now. And yeah, they haven't played anybody. Kentucky is better than any team Ole Miss has played so far, as Georgia and Kentucky played on Saturday, and Georgia just squeaked out a win in Lexington, 13-12. Which that result for me is twofold. One, Georgia looks more like an equal than the final boss that Ole Miss has to overcome in its title chase this year. While Kentucky, Ole Miss's SEC opener, September 28th, looks a heck of a lot tougher. Fell to 1-2 to Kentucky, but Mark Stoops, good coach. You talk about realistic Florida coaching candidates. It's going to be all noise about Lane Kiffin because Billy Napier had another clunker on Saturday. Old Ole Miss friend Marcel Reed, a former Ole Miss commitment, stepped in and started for Texas A&M at quarterback, and he looked good. He looked good to his credit. Didn't look as good as Jackson Dart, but it's not a comparison thing right now because Texas A&M isn't a contemporary to Ole Miss right now. Neither is Florida. Mark Stoops makes a lot of sense for a Florida that needs to be rebuilt from the ground up. So that's my read on that result, is that Georgia doesn't look like the final boss this year. They look like an equal. You got to beat them, you haven't beaten them. You got to show it, you hadn't shown it. But they don't look like the big scary, you know, monster in the closet waiting to jump out and ruin everything. And then Kentucky's going to be tough. That's a tough one to open. But Ole Miss gets Kentucky at home. I think they're going to move up. They've been top five for the first 3 weeks, both in the AP and coaches poll in the top five this week. I could see them moving up. Texas, they look good. Quinn Ewers, is he healthy? Arch Manning, I'm going to call him Eli's nephew. Eli's nephew stepped in for an injured Quinn Ewers and looked great. First place scored on a 67-yard touchdown scamper. And folks, that's a cheat code because Mannings aren't supposed to move like that. But Jackson Dart, Ole Miss quarterbacks typically don't bring this swagger, this attitude that he's got, that he's bringing to Ole Miss every single day. But when we're talking about Ole Miss's 40-6 win over Wake Forest, ugly as it was, frustrating as it was, but revealing and encouraging as it was too, the place I want to start is opposite Trey Amos, that cornerback two position that Isaiah Hamilton started yesterday. Love his fire, love his swagger, just talking noise from jump. While Jared Ivey, and I got an injury update on Jared, it sounds like he got the good end of the spectrum of what the outcomes could have been for him when he was carted off after Ole Miss, or during Ole Miss's second half against or at Wake Forest on Saturday. So I'll have an update on him shortly. But Isaiah Hamilton, he started at field corner opposite Trey Amos, and talking trash, and where Jared Ivey, when we were talking on the Ivy League, mentioned how he's not a trash talker. He thinks it's kind of lame. Isaiah Hamilton shows how I kind of feel about trash talk if you treat it right. I mean, you can tell he's just yapping, and it fires him up. It gets him going, but need some playmake from Isaiah Hamilton. A little bit more. Not a little bit. Need more, period. Need some stick to him. Because here's the scout for Isaiah Hamilton coming into the year. He's a transfer from Houston. Everybody wanted him. Alabama wanted him. Could use him right now. Michigan wanted him. Could certainly use him right now. And that's just to name a couple of the other contenders that really, really wanted Isaiah Hamilton. And the scout coming from Houston was, he's good in zone, bad in man. And what has he been so far at Ole Miss? Good in zone, bad in man. I wouldn't say necessarily bad. I would say spotty. He's been spotty in man. That's where you can see the fault line of the Ole Miss defense. One of those fault lines, potentially. Because without a doubt, he's not playing to the level of everybody else. Or not just him. And I don't want to single him out. But there's a problem on the field side. There are holes on the field side that is really not playing to the standard of everybody else around them. Ole Miss has talent at all three levels on its defense that it's quite honestly never had before. I made the joke in the preseason on this show here on Talk of Champions, powered by Riverland Roofing for all of your roofing needs. Call, text, check out the website for Riverland Roofing. I said it in the preseason. This defense, for the first time in forever, Ole Miss doesn't have to worry about linebacker depth. It's a whole new world, and that's proven true through the first three games. Nothing but high marks for T.J. Dottery, who started slow in the Furman game, and Chris Poupaul, who came off the bench and started against Middle and led the team in tackles, and then was really good again, yesterday at Wake Forest. That combination, the speed combination by itself, is something Ole Miss has never had. And more on that, too, in just a little bit. But Isaiah Hamilton, good in zone coming out of Houston. But, man, that's where he had to figure it out. And that's, unfortunately, where Ole Miss needs him to be making improvements sooner rather than later. And it's not just Hamilton. It's the holes on the field side, because Wake Forest picked on Tulane transfer safety from Tulane, Jaden Kennedy. Let's just be frank. There's no beating around that bush. His stat line in his first start for Ole Miss as an Ole Miss Rebel against Middle Tennessee State was pretty salty. 5 tackles, 2 pass breakups, but the pass coverage grade, at least according to Pro Football Focus grading, which is one of the few things we can go on analytically, was bad. Low 50s. And that would explain why you kept seeing Wake Forest attacking number 28, number 28 showing up on your television screen over and over and over and over again. They played to the scout, did the Demon Deacons, and went right after him. And he hung in there. I think he really did hang in there. But when the help for Jaden Kennedy is also trying to figure some things out, speaking about the safeties or the nickel cornerback situation, guys like Wake Forest wide receiver Taylor Moore and then just start cooking. He had 77 yards on 5 catches and 8 targets. Taylor Morin, long of 20, all by Wake Forest just throwing away from Trey Amos, who's been, again, a shutdown specialist on the boundary. And this is where I give some shouts out quick and easy first to start. Helmet sticker number 1 to Brandon Turnage. The Oxford kid returned home, formerly defensive back at Tennessee, Alabama, here playing corner at Ole Miss in his final college season. On that 4th down end zone stop, he's on an island, single coverage, corner of the end zone, plays it beautifully, plays the ball, playing the man, then turns to play the ball, knocks it away, locked onto his man's hip. He's back playing corner at Ole Miss, and that's what they need him to be. A solution potentially in the field, on the field side. Nickel corner specifically. Or maybe taking away some of those coverage snaps from a Jaden Kennedy whose pass defense grade is just not where it needs to be yet on a consistent basis. Brandon Turner could solve a lot of issues if he can stay on the field because injuries, they've been a problem for him and others as well, like Jared Ivey, who, again, we're going to get to. But Ole Miss went on the road for the first time this season to a place and against an opponent it's never won and came away with a 40-6 win without even really playing all that well. Playing, for most of you, I would say, give me the word to describe Ole Miss's game against Wake Forest on Saturday, September 14th, 2024. I think generally what I'd get back would be some variation of uninspiring, and yet I'm more encouraged today than I was going into that game. I'm completely opposite. Ole Miss went on the road for the first time against an opponent that it's only played a couple of other times and in a place that it's never won before. You remember back in 2008 when they went and had the historic win over Tim Tebow in Florida in the Swamp. My buddy, dear friend, Kenshaw Lockett, 40 himself, blocking the extra point. My other friend, Jarrell Poe, getting stuffs. Marcus Temple on the 4th down stop. They lost. That team lost at Wake Forest. So let's first understand in terms of the context of history with Ole Miss football by itself. Yesterday was historic, and that is not hyperbolic. If you've been around Ole Miss football for any length of time, to be able to go beat that opponent in its place the way Ole Miss did shows that it's in a different place competitively than it's ever been before. So when we're talking about shoring up the field side, the holes on the field side on defense, we're picking nits here. Yeah, that could be a problem once Ole Miss and Georgia play, or if they got to face off with Texas or Ohio State in the playoffs, if Ohio State has a quarterback that can adequately get the ball to the best skill group, I think, in college football. Though Ole Miss is showing that its skill group is right up there. Not, again, that's arguable, and I'm giving it to Ohio State, and I would give it to Georgia, and there's some others that we could talk about. But What have we been talking about in the preseason? Would I build a whole show around a whole Talk of Champions powered by Riverland Roofing? Text, call, visit their website today. What were we talking about all preseason? One of the most obvious, quote, holes on the roster was running back. Because Quinshon Judkins, I heard Tom Brenneman. That's where he resurfaced, by the way, the CW. Formerly the home of the Arrowverse and now broadcasting college football games with Tom Brenneman. Hopefully Nick Castellanos never shows up. Henry Parrish scored 2 touchdowns. He has 6 total through the last 2 games. Ole Miss has its Quinshon Judkins replacement. Ole Miss has its lead running back. He's running that way. He's leveled up. He was Henry Parrish, Miami's lead back last year. But what he's doing now is a different caliber and level of Henry Parrish Jr. But here's where it gets interesting, and you know where I'm going. I'm talking about Ulysses Bentley. Matt Jones, at least through 3 games, in what our eyes, and we can only go by what our eyes are telling us, is the number 2 running back behind clear lead back Henry Parrish Jr., meaning Ulysses Bentley, who was the highest graded returning running back in the SEC, he's number 3. Saturday. When Ole Miss beats Wake Forest, his first carry doesn't come until garbage time. I think the last one was snapped with well under a minute left, and it was one of a handful. And I want to be crystal clear before I jump into any speculation here. I do not know what's going on. I've tried to find out, and we're not always going to find everything out, and I don't know. And the SEC doesn't require injury reports from coaches yet. So we all know Lane Kiffin and the way he operates, which has been historic at Ole Miss, he's not going to be forthcoming with what might be going on. So we only are left, if we're going to talk about this, if you're going to ask me, and my job is to say or tell you what I think I know about Ulysses Bentley, what's going on? This is the best I have because if it were a disciplinary issue, well, we know it's doubly sure then that Lane would not be forthcoming about it. He would just say, like with Xavier Harris, they're handling it internally. But a disciplinary thing for Ulysses Bentley would really surprise me just because of my experience with them, which again, we can only go by our own experiences and what our eyeballs are telling us. And by all accounts, at least on my end, he's been nothing but a team leader since spring and on into preseason camp. The guy at the top of the stairs to go to the practice field, greeting his teammates every practice session. Stuck right by Lane Kiffin's side all throughout last night's game. If you watch the replay, look to the right of Lane Kiffin. You're probably going to see Ulysses Bentley standing right there. So I'm saying up front, I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. All I'm for sure about is he had surgery to repair a bad case of turf toe in the spring. And I know he has durability concerns and has had them his entire career that has spanned not just Ole Miss, multiple years at Ole Miss, but SMU as well. So it's conceivable he's not just himself right now. Henry Parrish is leaps and bounds better than everybody else in the room. And Ulysses Bentley simply isn't even where he needs to be in relation to Matt Jones. Or Henry Parrish just deserves a ton of credit because he continues, in my opinion, to keep proving that Lane Kiffin was right to not pay Quinshon Judkins, which Tom Brenneman brought up Quinshon again. And I think the most obvious thing for anybody who was watching and knew anything about Ole Miss coming in, yet, because of Henry's success, the Quinshon thing, the Quinshon question is even more of a non-answer. It's whatever. It's a nothing burger of a question of a story. Because that one-cut style of Henry Parrish is perfect for this team specifically. Both touchdown runs, one cut and go, sudden burst that Henry Parrish has that Quinshon doesn't. And if we can only go by what we see, all I see right this second, right this day on September 15th, for your Ole Miss Rebels, this is not an Ole Miss running back situation by committee. This isn't running back by committee. This is the Henry Parrish show with the side of Matt Jones. If it's the doghouse, if it's injury, whatever it is, Ulysses is currently the number 3. So can he get back to what he was coming into the year? The reason why he re-upped with the Grove Collective, it's NIL arm. Ole Miss's NIL arm. For a good contract, a guy that they – you don't pay someone like Ole Miss paid him to believe he's going to be your number three. So the question will have to continue to be asked, what's up with Ulysses Bentley? I don't expect Lane to be forthcoming, which is his right. No problem. But I don't think it's anything other than he's not ready. He's not right yet. But he better get right soon. You know, like don't rush back. Don't compromise anything health-wise. If that's what it is, Ulysses, of course. But Henry Parrish looks like he's leveling up. And when you go get a guy who you had experience at Ole Miss with the year with Kevin Smith, goes to Miami, develops, comes back here in his final money-making year, this is what you want to see out of him, that kind of motivation. I mean, he's taken Dominic Smith and Rashad Amos completely out of the equation. They can't get on the field, best I can tell. And that might change. That might change for Thomas, especially next week, because Ole Miss hosts his former team, Georgia Southern. 6:45 p.m. Central Time. On the SEC Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The defense, to get back to the original starting point, Isaiah Hamilton, the holes, the warts, the fault lines, the defense, warts and all, still hasn't allowed a touchdown. And Ole Miss has played three games. Say what you will about the opponents. But they didn't play inspiring against Wake Forest and beat them 40-6 and didn't give up a touchdown. The last time Ole Miss hasn't given up a touchdown through its first three games of a season, 1961. I'm more encouraged today, this morning, than I was yesterday. Yesterday morning filled with trips to soccer fields and musical practices. They put up video game numbers that Ole Miss against Furman and Middle Tennessee State, but good teams, the best teams, the very best teams, they win ugly. They can win ugly. And when you're ugly, it's 40-6 against your first Power 5 opponent at their place. It is because Lane Kiffin and this NFL-like coaching staff with its analysts have put together Ole Miss's best ever defensive line. Hank Bachmeier, Wake Forest quarterback, was just the next quarterback for Ole Miss this season to make it look like on every down. The terror or nightmare for Wesley Carroll in the 2008 Egg Bowl with Jarrell Poe and Greg and Marcus Tillman and 40 making his life hell. Parade just ruining his day. And it's like that every game, every down with this defensive line, the best ever assembled at Ole Miss. And that isn't hyperbole. If you just, whatever metric you go by, recruiting rankings, pro football focus grading, pick your fighter, and this is the best collection of Ole Miss talent on the defensive line ever. And when you have that specifically, because what did Lane Kiffin talk about last year? Georgia losing by 5 touchdowns, the lines of scrimmage. Offensive line was better than the defensive line, deeper, sure. Now that defensive line is better than the offensive line, but it's one of the best in football. It is one of the very best. Because defensive lines, elite level, that's where the championship formula, that's the secret sauce, the secret to the mix. Ole Miss has three top three round NFL draft picks on the defensive line alone. I would actually take that back and say four. Walter Nolan, Princely Umanmielen, J.J. Pegues, Jared Ivey. And that's where, let's talk about Jared. He was carted off the field in the third quarter. I was told it's a bad ankle sprain. He got put in a boot, but nothing is broken. So that's not good news, but better than what it could have been. It's prayers up to our guy, Jared Ivey, our friend, Jared Ivey. Third year, do it all defensive lineman, including podcast host on the Talk of Champions podcast network, the Ivy League. It might take him some time. He's going to take him some time, but he's going to be all right. Preseason second team all SEC was Jared Ivey. Finished the game, tied for second on the team in tackles with six. Led the Rebels in both sacks and tackles for loss with two apiece. He was Ole Miss's highest graded defender, 89.0, in a 52-3 win over Middle last week, according to PFF. Also was Jared, one of four Rebels named to PFF's Team of the Week. And again, Jared and that Ole Miss defense haven't allowed a touchdown through three games. That's the first since 1961. Defense entered the night. Entered Wake Forest, ranked number one in college football in rush defense, number three in tackles for loss. Ole Miss as a team has now outscored opponents 168-9. This is what championship teams do. So yes, feed me the rat poison after Wake Forest. If y'all want to pick the nits, by all means, I've done that myself, but I'm more encouraged today than I was after Middle and Furman. I am, because Ole Miss has never had this caliber of defense. Not at all three levels. Best defensive line Ole Miss has ever assembled, depth-wise, talent-wise. Linebacker, first time they've ever not had to worry about linebacker depth, and they've got speed, too, modern era. Closing speed that you have if you're going to have an attacking 4-2-5 against these spread offenses. This team is really, really good because, yes, it's offense, Jackson Dart, Heisman contender, but the defense, potentially the best Ole Miss has ever had and ever going to have. There are problems, and we've covered them. We've acknowledged those in the field, those holes. Isaiah Hamilton, got to have you, man. Got to step up and solve that one individual issue for the team issue, the man for the team issue, because they want to attack with Princely Umanmielen. They want to attack with Suntarine Perkins, who got a sack and an interception. Second helmet sticker, I'm going to go ahead and give it to Suntarine Perkins. Sonny P, a rival game. But Xavien Harris, he's playing. The off-the-field issue, obviously squared as far as the team is concerned, so that's what we go by. And he's playing as a depth piece, 6'7", monster. It's not like Jared going down for potentially a couple of weeks is going to prevent Ole Miss from having guys to step in and produce and win games. Xavien Harris is a great NFL talent. Cam Franklin got in, number 14, true freshman. He looks like mini Jared Ivey. There are options unlike there have ever been before, and that has never been better represented than along the defensive line. Suntarine Perkins, again, second helmet sticker. Keep coming. Sonny P, a rival game. William Eccles, preseason freshman All-American. TJ Dottery, Chris Paul. We've covered those guys. The closing speed. Speaking of closing speed, Kyrie Coleman. Our guy, friend of the Ivy League of the Talk of Champions podcast network, as always, powered by Riverland Roofing, riverlandroofing.com. He's a second teamer, but I don't care who starts. It doesn't matter who starts on championship teams. And yet, as a second teamer, as a guy who could have said, well, I'm supposed to be a starter, throwing a pity party, this, that, and the other. No, he's just out there when his name is called making plays, the pursuit, two pursuit plays, where you went, oh, there's the Kyrie Coleman that Ole Miss recruited out of TCU, signed out of TCU, that going into the 2023 season was ranked as a first-round projection, according to Fox, just as an edge rusher. And he put that on display, but from the second level, closing in, delayed blitzing, because he doesn't have the frame to be an every-down edge rusher. Sonny P's dealing with that, too. He might end up following Kyrie and playing what he's doing right now. Eventually, if he can't keep the weight, add the weight. But Sonny P is Will Anderson if they can get him there. You know, got to get him there weight-wise, but that's what they think he can be. Kyrie's playing with a freedom as a second-teamer that he certainly didn't have last year. So that by itself is a big deal for him individually. Again, an individual need solving a team need. Kyrie, remember, he was transitioning from defensive end, edge, to linebacker last year, and it was a transition. It had its ups and downs. But he had five tackles in a quarterback hurry officially against Wake Forest. Let's go. Now, I'm not saying, before I say what I'm going to say, that Ole Miss is Georgia in 2022 with this defense. They're not about to put a record amount of defenders in the first round of next spring's draft. But you can also kind of see it too. Kind of, right? Trayvon Walker, Princely Umami Allen, which Florida? Oh boy. Jalen Carter, Walter Nolan, N'Kobe Dean, Chris Paul, or TJ Dottery. Pick your fighter. Kyrie Coleman. I mean, that guy was a preseason first-round projection by Fox going into 2023, and we forget that. He's a second-teamer. He used to be the guy that almost would plaster on his media guides and his programs, do all the promotional stuff with it, because there's only like three of them. That's what title teams look like. And the offense was sluggish at times. Yes, it was sluggish at times. That first drive, though, that five-play masterpiece, oh. And if you're posting 650 total yards on an off day, you're doing pretty good. Man, it was a big deal when Ole Miss and Texas Tech, Eli and B.J. Sims went pound for pound, 600 yards for 600 yards. And now Ole Miss does it on an off day. And you're like, well, can they really beat Georgia? Come on. The offensive line looked different on Saturday. This is notable. Jerquan Scott, the Southern Miss transfer offensive lineman, he was inserted for the first time. But he wasn't at center. No, he wasn't at center. That's where he'd been all through spring, the starting first-team center. And on into fall camp before he got hurt with a knee injury, his own knee injury. Joe Judge, actually, he's now an Ole Miss analyst. The former New York Giants head coach was the one that suggested the move of Jerquan Scott to center and why it had stuck. But he was at right guard while Reese McIntyre, the six-year veteran, started again as he had the first two games at center. He was back snapping to that Heisman front runner Jackson Dart. Who are you putting ahead of him? Carson Beck? Maybe Quinn Ewers? Both hurt or uninspiring performances? We need to be talking more about Boise State running back Ashton Jeanty. He's got 459 yards and 9 touchdowns on 45 carries, but the Heisman is a quarterback award, so let's call it what it is. Jackson Dart, Heisman front runner. And the results for that exchange grouping of McIntyre and Dart, it was mixed in the third iteration. Bad snap resulted in a fumble, a turnover. Dart was under more pressure, not necessarily at the fault of Reese McIntyre, of course, than he'd been in the previous 2 weeks. But Ole Miss still, 650 yards on an off day, scored 40 while it was sluggish at times. And I've said it before, I'm not going to worry about the offensive line. I'm not worried about the offensive line because they're almost 10 deep. And even as they're figuring things out, they're starting center playing right guard in a pinch or just to see what it looks like because Reese McIntyre has been grading pretty daggum well at center for two games starting in his place. What would this look like? They can do that against their first Power 4 opponent because they're good enough to do that. They're good enough to experiment and try to figure some things out, find the best mix, whatever that mix looks like. It's not season-altering for Jeremy James as it would have been in previous years, especially in 8-4 contending years. This is what separates the 8-4s and the national championship contenders. Jeremy James, who has started for 5 years at Ole Miss on the offensive line, at tackle, at guard, you name it, he's down for a month with a hand injury. I remember when DK Shackelford went down in the spring, that spring long ago, and the Ole Miss defense was like, well, there goes the defense. Jeremy James used to be like one of those guys, and yet he goes down, hand injury. Ole Miss has guys that can step in and make up for that lost production or what would have been potentially lost production. Caleb Warren, a 3-year starter at center, he's on the mend. He might be back as early as next week for Georgia Southern, certainly you would think by Kentucky. Ole Miss runs about 10 deep. So the offensive line, figuring things out, quarterback throws an interception, snap exchange results in a fumble and a turnover, another turnover, and you still put up 650 yards and 40 points. And your defense hasn't given up a touchdown through 3 games. We're picking nits. But I do need more from Diego Pounds. the North Carolina transfer. It's just they need more from him. Need him to come on. Major props again, though, to Jaden Williams. Continues to impress in his rebirth of a third year as the again starting Ole Miss left tackle, which is the first of a few more helmet stickers to hand out to take us out in this edition, this post-Wake Forest edition of Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben on Twitter. Check me out at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and affiliate of On 3. Sign up today, omspirit.com. And Talk of Champions, as always, powered by Riverland Roofing. Here in the Riverland Roofing Studios, you see the house up top. Riverland Roofing for all of your roofing needs. Jordan Watkins, helmet sticker. Welcome back. He's been back. For sure, he actually came back last week against Middle Tennessee. But it's been never-ending injury stuff, seems like, for the last year. And he caught a 75-yard touchdown wide open in that win. So, helmet sticker, Jordan Watkins. Henry Parrish, of course, helmet sticker. He's looking like Zach Evans out there. And only those of you who listen to Talk of Champions on an everyday basis know what I mean by that. I said this, I think, last Friday, Thursday. Ole Miss this offense doesn't need Quinshon Judkins back. It needs Zach Evans back. Well, Henry Parrish is looking just like Zach Evans. So if that's happening, again, we're talking about, Ole Miss is going to be in the dance, and you got to get in the dance. Anything can happen in the dance, but how good is this breakdancer in the dance, right? In the competition, in the tournament, right? Do they get to have first slotting? That's where Ole Miss is playing right now. That's kind of the conversation it's having. It's not, are they going to be able to do it? They're doing it. Now, how well are they going to do it? Henry Parrish looking like Zach Evans out there. 6 touchdowns his last 2 games. It's his backfield. It's proof positive again that you never overpay for running backs. 23 carries, 148 yards. Whew. Trey Harris, helmet sticker. What more is there to say about Trey Harris? All-American, and assuming he stays healthy and continues to do this, what he's been doing, surefire finalist, I think, for the Biletnikoff Award, which goes each year to college football's very best receiver. A.J. Brown was once robbed of the Biletnikoff. I will die on that hill. He caught to Trey Harris 11 of his 13 catches for 127 yards, and we need to soon, I think, have a conversation. Maybe after the season, after the dust settles and Trey's off to the NFL. But where he stands or is going to end up standing the Ole Miss wide receiver GOAT conversation. Because Trey Harris, he's got an argument, legit argument with the greats. I'm talking A.J., Laquan, Shea, Dante Moncrief, Elijah Moore, on and on and on. A.J. is about the only one right now that I would take over Trey Harris. And I know that that is recency bias. I know that. But also, the combined body of work across Ole Miss and also Louisiana Tech, the case is just being made by Trey Harris. That dude. Toledo, game ball. Mississippi State paid you $1.2 million to get skull drug. I have so many jokes that I just don't care to give anymore. Mostly at Steve's expense, Rose Bowl's expense. The rivalry has never mattered less, both on and off. Ole Miss has never had bigger fish to fry. Open the season with that stupid rivalry game. From now on, I don't care. Consider the sip ran. Caden Lee, helmet sticker. My breakout pick for Ole Miss on offense, making me look smart. Which is selfish, but it always kind of makes you feel good to feel smart. Finished 2nd on the team against Wake Forest in receptions with 5-on-5 targets, receiving yards with 83. At worst, this is Dayton Moore reincarnate. Jackson Dart, helmet sticker for the 13-yard 3rd-and-10 touchdown run and truck stick with the windmill sideline dunk celebration to go up 23-6. Just for that, you got a helmet sticker. The scumbag quarterback. The Heisman front runner. Now, I'm giving you this helmet sticker, not for all of that. It's for that diving into the defender, welcoming that smoke on 3rd-and-10, that touchdown run to go up 23-6, and kind of gotten sleeping. There's Jackson lifting everybody up again. Suntarine Perkins, helmet sticker, sack, that diving athletic interception. Is this his arrival game? It's only a matter of time. Brandon Turnage, helmet sticker, PBU on an island. We'd love to see it. John Saunders, helmet sticker. Peanut Tillman, that punch out for the fumble, the forced fumble, one of the preseason anchor rebels here on Talk of Champions, powered, as always, by Riverland Roof and the Ole Miss Spirit, making me, like Kane Lee, look smart. That's hard to do because I'm not smart. Juice Wells, helmet snicker, 3 catches, 60 yards, and a tutty. Looking like 2022 Juice Wells, which was the best receiver in the SEC that year. So, uh-oh. And that's it. That's all for a post-Wake Forest edition of Talk of Champions in the Riverland Roofing Studios. Riverland Roofing, for all of your roofing needs, text or call Riverland Roofing today. 662-644-4297. That's 662-644-4297. Visit them online, riverlandroofing.com. That's riverlandroofing.com. Sign up and join us at the Ole Miss Spirit today, omspirit.com. Plenty of reaction coming from recruits following the third win for Ole Miss this year from Zach Berry, our recruiting expert, the guy to know, to follow in regards to Ole Miss recruiting. It's all there at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com. And that's where this podcast, Talk of Champions, is always hosted. Always. And Ole Miss is 3-0, looking like that championship contender you hoped upon hope that they would look like. So go to church, say your prayers, have your little fun with your state friend buddy that's singing in the choir with you. But we too blessed to be stressed today, folks. I'll see you back here on Tuesday in the Riverland Roofing Studios. God bless. Take care of each other. Next week, Georgia Southern, then it's SEC play.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your next project right now at Menards. Save time on your paint project with help from Duck Clean Release Painter's Tape. Use on walls, trim, glass, wood, or metal for clean removal and clean paint lines every time. Save big and get a 3-pack of Duck Clean Release Painter's Tape on sale now through September 22nd. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.